to the book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse 14, and chapter 17, the book of Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of remembrance the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi on thy side. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Deuteronomy 25, verse 19.
Which I hear. And Saul said,
they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, and wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst even in the sight of the Lord? Then Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice.
You put the lights on the other end of the
We've come down to days when there has to be straightforward speaking. And if there's straightforward speaking, it has to be the word of the Lord. There's a place for prayer, eternity, and will be the place where we shall be occupied eternally with praise. There's a place for prayer. And I don't think it is neglected. There is a place for prayer, and we're thankful for it. Our very course through this world necessitates it, and we have that outlet. But there is a side of things which is inclined to be neglected, and that is hearing the word of the Lord. That's the burden of my heart at this moment. I believe it's the burden of the readings which we have come to read in the churches, for it is, He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. And I take it, and I think it's been brought home to us in our readings, that this has a continuous and a present application. It's a word of the whole profession. It's addressed to the churches. But since, because of the state of things in Christendom, the churches are not found hearing what the Spirit, what the Lord democracy for the churches, but it falls to the individuals, and individuals will be found, we are sure of that, who will show that they have an ear to hear what the Spirit said unto all the churches. It's three scriptures come to one's mind in regard to the way the Spirit of God takes up this matter. He said to me, the vigor of Christ in action. And I believe that is true. Things are not just left in the hands of man without power and direction, but the very fact of the Spirit of God here is the unfailing power of God available for the beginning, the continuance, and everything that is deemed to be necessary for the testimony of the Lord. And that, we are certain, will be pursued. It has been pursued, and nothing stopped it, neither war nor famine. Not even the state of the church has prevented the testimony from going out. But whereas it should have gone out in the full responsibility of every true believer, yet there being failure, man being what he is, it resolves itself into individuals who show their hearts and consciences, and the opportunity is given to show their opinion and allegiance to an absent Lord in caring for his interests. They should be paramount even as in the case of the Apostle Paul, it was more to him than his life. It was more to him than his health. He was not concerned about old age and what becomes natural to us. We'll be very careful and concerned about our own affairs. So he expressed himself. He's ready he's prepared himself, he speaks in the 8th of Romans, as he counts himself as sheep for the slaughter. And for thy sake, we have killed all day long. The only one thing he looked for here in the course of serving the Lord, and that was he didn't expect anything but death, and therefore he was never, never a disappointed man. If we are looking for anything else in this world, then we shall find it will touch disappointment. So, in reading the Old Testament scriptures, we have there on record that which serves to show us how those before us have failed. People call positions as Saul lost. But the scriptures I have read show how he missed the mark. And the whole point is, in not being disobedient, in not fulfilling the word of the Lord. The scriptures I read also show, in the circumstances, that he was defected and swayed by the people. Now that's the whole point of what I am saying. We've been referring in our readings, even so far, about the works of the Nicolaitanes and the doctrine of the Nicolaitanes. That is the way those in the profession have been wrought upon by imposing persons. We are very susceptible to that. We are very susceptible to intimidation. Peter was found there, you know, in the incident, because it was in the Epistle of the Galatians, there it was in the full light and the liberty of Christianity. And having cleared himself from all the trammels of Judaism in regard to the matters of eating, but it only needed imposing men to present themselves from the Jews, and Peter was affected. Now, let us discuss ourselves in that, dear friend, dear brethren. There's only one one thing was they will deliver us from that, and that is having the Lord distinctly before us, and that is our exercise. It will deliver us from snare. It will deliver us from intimidation. It will deliver us from listening to the majority. And the scriptures I have read clearly show and emphasize that there lies danger, and we are not immune ourselves from succumbing to that error. And if we speak of it as an error, it's the most serious error, because by succumbing to it, we virtually set supreme authority of the Lord aside. Now, I did refer in my opening remarks to the necessity of hearing what the Spirit says to the church. He has a message. The Spirit speaks expressly. And that was in connection with a period, something like the 4th century, that many shall depart and give ear to hear the subduing spirits and so on. And the Spirit speaks daily in the Epistle to Hebrews. And the Spirit speaks continuously in these letters that we are reading to the churches. And the whole point, beloved friends, is that we should have redirected to the Lord Himself. He'll never, never surrender the place that He has. And it's our privilege to give Him that place, and that will become our exercise. Now, we are faced with problems in our deliberations. People experience of this, and where it calls for the individual to stand on the Word of God itself, even though we may find the opinions and the inclinations and the expediency of human thought, because of circumstances, swaying us as they did Saul on this occasion. We read the verses, I emphasized them in reading them, that the reason they didn't carry out the word of the Lord and show that obedience which became him as the first man in that nation, Israel, the anointed king. The reason for that failure was that he was turned aside from obeying the Lord by an attempt to be popular with the people. Being conquered by the people. He virtually was conquered by the people. In principle, it's being indoctrinated by the work and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. He listened to the people. Therefore, he did not carry out the strict commandment of the Lord. And I read the scripture in the 17th Exodus to show how important that order was. Our brother, in the course of our readings, he referred to he made a very strong statement in that, being what we are, we may to save our face, we're more concerned about sparing our friends and not offending them, but at the expense of not offending them, we may contravene the word of God and offend God. Mm-hmm. The scripture in the 17th of Exodus is important to consider, but there is a principle in the nation of Amalek. And whilst we have our problems, in the 17th of Exodus, this is a matter that God has taken up. And in the scripture I read, it's a war that he will never, never, it goes on. It went on from that day in regard to Amalek. And the cross of Christ is the evidence that something was to be done by God which was a necessity, and had his own name and his glory. And the place is time to Christ himself in view. And Christianity is brought in on the basis of that cross, and you can't have Christianity without the cross. There's no such thing as Christianity practically for God without the cross. There's no Christianity without that death. And when it speaks of blood, it's merely the emphasis on the death that was necessary, and that death being necessary. that kind of death was the crush by which he died. And he accounts that Christianity for it. The 13th of John, God is not glorified only on the basis of the cross. Christ having come, even in the face of the betrayer, who was about to betray the Lord Jesus, in view of it, his mental cross, he said, "Now the Son of Man." The universal aspect that is contested by this world, Jesus had that in view. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. He's referring to that death. He will have war without a left from generation to generation. And we are told in our day, you know, that we are living in 1967 and things are different. And we have to look at things differently in 1967 to what we had in 1950. Or even in the apostles' days. Granted that there are differences. We're obliged to, we can concede that. There are differences. But in principle, in what is for God, the things apply just as today as they did then. Therefore, there is the principle of Amalek in every individual. You couldn't have a body without the principle of Amalek. We couldn't have a body without the expression of the will. And if there are two things which are the cause of all that is dishonoring to God in Christianity, it is the principle of the flesh and it is the action of the human will. And so in 1967, and even proceeding until the Lord comes, those two things will be present with every individual. And the conflicts, the issues are there. And every believer, and every true believer, in loyalty and in allegiance to Christ, and what is due to God, he must of necessity be in accord with God's determination and the relentless war, the conflict that goes on in respect to that principle of the flesh and the will in man. We refer to Job this afternoon. There we have a man who was upright again. What came like was that Job had a will. And this matter of God's dealing with the Christian is, in principle, it is to set that will aside. The danger of the will is that we set God's will on one side and we revert to man's will. And so we have the doctrine, the works of the Middle Ages, and the doctrine of the Middle Ages. And in principle, it sets the authority of Christ more than any on one side. Think of the word for Henry King Saul. Very solemn word. God sends his prophet. And there always will be the prophetic word. God has a right to say. Our privilege is to praise. And praise God, we shall praise. And we cannot do without prayer. But what one would press is the necessity that our ears should be open, because God has a right to speak. He has a right to speak to the great. He has a right to speak to the intimidators. He has a right to speak to Nicolaitanes. And he has a right to speak to every individual Christian. Psalm 48 and Psalm 49 will tell you that the whole creation must hear when God speaks. And in that which is the best that God has brought in, it's God who is speaking in his Son. And vested authority is in that blessed person, the one who has the stars, he holds the stars in his right hand. There is the authority. The authority that anyone to contest that could only be to their own detriment. Now that, if in King Saul he allowed himself to be swayed in this way, what solemn words are said. Let us read them again. In the prophetic word to King Saul. Verse 22. Ask the Lord. Has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now human experience may decide and does decide according to human standards as to what should be served. But then has God respect and delight to what we think should be served up to Him, which can merely be the product of the human will, and the best in man, the flesh. For when we speak of the flesh, it's not only the worst, the drunkenness, and the fornications, but it's the best in man as well as the worst, and the process of necessary. To set it aside and setting the man aside, and setting the man aside, the best went to good of the worst. But the assumption may be that if this is not really, if this is disregarded, that in expediency, the human mind is the world to serve up what is supposed to be the best. The best that man can introduce. And it can have the form of music. And the arts, these are the things that have been pushed forward by not the illiterate, by the most educated. And the most cultured person has assumed that these things could be accepted. When God, in the light of this, that God has set the whole man aside in the dead of Christ. It's what we have referred to in the Epistle of Peter, it's the way of Cain, the best in man. That was in the presence of the fall when man was turned out of the Garden of Eden. Without a home and without clothing. Unfit for the presence of God. He wasn't fit for the presence of God. He was as good as being naked. And he had a home as a wanderer. And from that very moment, the poverty and the dearth of the creature is unchanged. Well, ask the Lord, this is the question that is raised, ask the Lord, as delight in burnt offerings as in obeying the word of the Lord. We have wrote that. He will have war with Amalek. All the way of the flesh and the will of man may show itself and assert itself. We have to say that the flesh and the will of man show itself in the very best that God wants to do. That is in Christianity. A solemn word for us. And then we are told what this is. To obey is better. This is the axiom to adhere to. This is the matter that is put before us. This is put on our plate. And we cannot be for God without it. To become to this is to be lawlessness, and yet we are brought into righteousness. We are brought from lawlessness into righteousness. And the simple thing is to abide in Christ is to be practically apart from the lawlessness. And that is to judge the will. And to judge the flesh, and God has given us the cross for that. And He's also given us the Spirit. And it's the only way we can be for God as Christians, on the basis of the cross, and in the power of the Spirit of God. Well, this is a matter of God's taste. Hath the Lord as much delight in burnt offering as obeying the word of the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken. We have a body, and having a body we have an ear to hearken. It's of all moment. Let me refer to a very striking incident in the life of the Lord Jesus. And I believe we have the whole principle of God's approach to man with a view to his full restoration in a miracle which the Lord Jesus performed, recorded for us in the Gospel of Mark at the end of chapter 7. There's a man found there, and is not only deaf, but because he is deaf, he is dumb. Now think of that. One of God's creatures that can neither hear his voice nor reply to it. The birds reply to God, and even the pig grunts in satisfaction. And the best in of God's creatures doesn't hear his voice and therefore cannot even reply in thanksgiving. Romans 1. Neither were they thankful. We must have revelation before, since there is the fall, then we are dependent upon revelation. We depend upon the revelation of the heart of God. The Lord Jesus in that instance, he comes and he deals with the man's ears in view of him hearing the very communication which God asked the man, which could only be made through the one who was there to perform that miracle. He opened his ears. And Jesus brought the message of God's love for that man to hear it, and for every believer as hears that message only through Christ. And hearing that message, then there's one thing certain. The mouth is open. If the ear is open for the communication, and that is the whole principle of Christian revelation, for that which the Lord Jesus brought from the very heart of God to enter the human heart by way of the ear, it is that the man is no longer dumb but speaks, and is able to give thanks and reply to God. Is the whole principle of revelation and approach. And so the importance of it is, beloved, is in the hearing of his voice with a view to being put right and kept right. And we hear him as under his eye to be. There's only one way we can be for God, and that is by being subject and obedient. The Lord Jesus, in the 10th of Luke, Mary was sitting at his feet hearing his word. She was listening to one who himself was subject to it. What other communication could she have from him, but in knowing what it is to be subject, and in being subject? And without subjection, there's no support from God. We must get a rebuke if we're not subject. But being subject, and that is the kingdom, and it comes first in Christianity. The kingdom is so necessary, and the kingdom will assure us of divine support. And so the principle is it's better. Men in the heart. And we are here to the man show his wisdom by having the hearing here.